Sandy watched as Candy, and the knight with his banners all bravely unfurled, now hurls down his gauntlet toward thee. I am I, Don Quixote, the Lord of La Mancha.
I'm Dime Roberts, and that, what we're listening to, is Man of La Mancha that Portland Opera is producing. It's Stage and Studio, a special one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And I love this musical. It was the first one I was ever in college, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful play, musical play. Portland Opera is producing this musical about Miguel de Cervantes. Cervantes, the author of Don Quixote. The story focuses on Cervantes right after he goes before the Spanish Inquisition. In this play, he's thrown into a prison, and in order to survive, he starts telling the story of Don Quixote, and all the prisoners help dramatize the story. It's going to be at the Keller Auditorium June 9th through the 17th, and we have two pairs of tickets to offer to a lucky person who calls 1-877-500-5266 or KBOO right now. So it's just beautiful music. I love it. We're also featuring interviews from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, as well as pairs of tickets. But first off, we're going to visit with Silas Weir Mitchell. He starred in 5 seasons of Grimm. Yes, that TV show that was filmed here in Portland. He's about to open a 2-person play called Constellations at Portland Center Stage at the Armory. I talked with him when he was in rehearsals about the play Constellations, which runs May 19th through June 11th, and about his personal connections to Portland.
I felt at home in March of 2011 when I got off the airplane to drive to the Nines before we started shooting the pilot. I said, wow, I like it here. I mean, in the van on the way to the hotel, I said, wow, this is gorgeous. Because I've spent a lot of my life in New England, and this is basically New England West, just sort of wetter winters as opposed to colder winters. And so I feel very at home here, and I sort of have from the drop. Yeah. As far as doing a show at Portland Center Stage, that is a factor of my feeling at home in Portland, but also feeling at home at Portland Center Stage. I feel very at home here. This is a really, really nice group of people who are also just in it for the right reasons. Same as Grimm. Nobody's here for, no one's a prima donna. People are committed to the work. They work really hard and have fun doing it. There's not a lot of ego. People are here to do the job. And it's just a great place to work, so it's something I would not pass up. I also love doing theater. It's a good way to stay grounded.
And so you're sort of going into a 2-person play now. What drew you to Constellations?
Chris called me, I think, over a year ago with this idea, and it was, the timing of it is perfect. You know, Grimm is over, but it was sort of like, okay, but I know I'll have some job to do. You know, and it's in Portland, so it felt sort of like a nice come down from Grimm. You know, I'm still working in Portland, and it's a really, really cool play. It's just a really cool play. I read the play and was immediately taken with it. It's a fascinating little jewel box of a play. It's a little puzzle with a big heart also. You know, it's a really cool combination of head and heart.
Science and love.
Science and love, exactly, yeah. Body and soul.
Well, it seems like, you know, going into something like this is also, you know, an acting challenge. You know, 2-person play, it runs probably, what, 70 minutes or so?
I would imagine somewhere, certainly under 90. It's no intermission. That's a great form of theater, I think. The under 90 minutes, no intermission, just, you know, punch them in the heart and send them on their way.
So tell me a little bit about your character that you're playing.
I play a beekeeper who grew up in Wiltshire, England.
So you're doing a British accent?
I am. I meet this woman who is a theoretical physicist, and we hit it off, or we don't. We get together, or we don't. We cheat on each other, or we don't. We get married, maybe we don't. There's all sorts of possibilities. The underlying metaphor of the piece is theoretical physics and the multiverse, where the possibility exists that there are many, many universes, not just the one that we know. And so given that, The idea is that in the quantum realm, anything is possible in the sense that predictability goes out the window as far as the quantum realm. Physicists have been doing experiments to try to create the same result, which you can do in the gravitational world, which is relativity. In relativity, things are repeatable, predictable, and that's sort of the marker of a true thesis, is that you can repeat experiments based on the math. Can't do that in the quantum realm. So that brings up opens this can of worms about the nature of reality when you can't repeat an experiment and get the same result. So you take that metaphor to our life, you expand that to the human realm. The physicists have come up with this idea that more than one thing exists at any given time, but our brains and our bodies only seem to experience one thing. But in fact, the past, the present, and the future all exist at once. So the playwright took this idea and applied it to a relationship between two people. It's a beautiful piece.
Hard to imagine how you portray that in a play, I guess, because, you know, I'd have to see it or read it to know how you can do simultaneous realities at the same time.
Well, yeah, it's like cubism. You look at a paint, one of the ideas behind cubism was simultaneity. So the idea that you're looking at a piece from more than one angle at once and then flattening it out. It's sort of like a cubist play where it's like a Rubik's cubist play, because there's a lot of combinations of things that happen that are similar but different. I mean, we will repeat a scene until one person says something other than they said in a previous iteration of that scene, and from that one change, something else evolves. So you'll have sort of A, B, C, D, E, Q, and then you'll go Q, R, S, T, U, V, and then you'll have A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, R, and you'll go R, S, T, you know what I mean? So it's like music, you know? It's like you repeat a theme, and then one note changes, and that one note changing sends you off in a new direction.
You're blowing my mind a little bit there. I mean, it's interesting to think about. I'm wondering how much of research did you have to do to sort of grasp that theory?
A little bit, you know. I mean, I read a book called In Search of Schrodinger's Cat, which was a very clear, and I didn't even finish it, I read half of it. It's a very clear explanation of the growth of science from Newton to Einstein and beyond. And it goes from the atom to chemistry to physics. And, it, you know, that helped. That helped kind of peel the layers of the onion, because it's, you know, physics is, I'm not good at math. I'm like a big concept person. I'm not a calculations person, so I can't be involved in the math of it. I can only be involved in the poetry of it.
And yet it's a love story.
Oh, it's absolutely a love story, but a love story that involves what...
many different options and pathways that it could go.
Which is true of any given love story in the world, you know? People love each other and do bad things to each other. People love each other and leave each other. People.
I mean, who hasn't, like, had an argument and think, oh, I should have said this other thing that would have taken me in a different direction?
Right, and who, yes, and who hasn't fallen in love and had their heart broken, or fallen in love and not had their heart broken and stayed happy, or done, you know, I mean, you know, it reminds me of that quote from Leaves of Grass, I think, where Whitman writes, you know, that famous line, do I contradict myself? Yes, I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes. That's true of all of us. And when you put two people together, the multitude is even greater. So the chances of things happening one way or the other, you know, as there's a line in the play where Marianne says, imagine rolling a dice 6,000 times.
Well, I mean, it sounds like also that there's a bit of fun in that, too, just being able to think about these concepts in a fun way.
Absolutely fun thing where you're bouncing from reality to reality within the play, which is a delight for an actor because it's sort of athletic, you know, your imagination's getting a workout, which is fun.
That was part one of my interview with Silas Weir Mitchell, who is one of the stars of the hit show Grimm, and he's now starring in Constellations by Nick Payne, which runs May 19th through June 11th at 7:30 p.m. at Portland Center Stage. All shows are at the main stage at the Armory, located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More info at pcs.org or 503-445-3700. And we have tickets for Constellations to offer during this membership drive edition of Stage and Studio, as well as to the musical Man of La Mancha at Portland Opera, all available for your KABU membership. Call now and support arts programming on KABU, 1-877-500-5266 or KABU.FM. Let's check in with Membership Central. Joe and Becky, are you there?
We are, and good morning, D-Man.
Boy, are we here.
Yay!
Yeah, we've been drinking all the coffee, and we're here to tell you that this arts programming on KABU is incredibly important and something that is actually pretty rare on Portland airwaves. Call 877-500-5266 because you value culture and art, and being able to hear it about beautiful local productions like Constellations is important to you. 877-500-5266. And for $120 minimum pledge, you can get a pair of tickets to this amazing production. It sounds so fun. So call 877-500-5266. That's a $10 a month donation. So easy to do. It will take only a minute to get set up. It's going to be easy online as well, kabu.fm. You can click on the donate button, but remember, put in $10 a month for that $120 pledge to get tickets to Constellations, a really incredible time to be a KABU member.
And I just want to emphasize that we're... what are we doing here? Oh,
well, we're talking about this amazing arts program.
Our program. Yes, Constellations.
Stage and Studio is incredible.
Nick Payne. You know, actually, in fact, seriously, this station helps keep the arts in Portland alive.
Yes.
And if you're, never mind the political stuff, never mind the music stuff, but if you're concerned with the survival of live theater, with the survival of live music, if this is stuff that you really care about, you owe it to that with which you care.
Yeah.
Owe it so much to us at KABU. And you really should make a major contribution. So, really, now, make a call and commit yourself to KBOO.
500-5266. $10 a month gets you those tickets.
Don't forget.
Calling all Grimm fans. Call us right now at 1-877-500-5266. I'm D.B.A. Roberts with a special one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And thank you to those who have called in your support in the past. And if you haven't in a while and haven't before, you know, Joe is absolutely right. We do keep the arts alive in Portland. And arts are what nourish us and keep us giving hope to everyone, you know. So do give us a call, 1-877-500-5266, and pick up some tickets to Constellations for $120, which is a pretty good deal. It's all tax deductible. Hello. Thank you. One of the things that made Grimm such a special show was the cast. Oh, yeah. And they seem to love working with each other, but also about being in Portland. Now, I talk with Silas Weir Mitchell, who's now starring in Constellations at Portland Center Stage, a two-person story about love and science. And, he talked to me about his favorite episode to shoot on the show Grimm.
Yeah, there were a lot of factors that contributed to our tight-knitness, which we did have. We part of it was absolutely being out of L.A., being on this beautiful green island of Grimm and work, and that's just all we were doing, really. We were just buried in this thing together, and everybody was kind of in it for the right reasons. Nobody was a prima donna, and none of us is a movie star, so we were all sort of at the same level. We were just working actors who landed in this beautiful place to do a crazy show in the woods at night in the rain. And so that's sort of a galvanizing experience.
That can be very bonding, especially the Oregon rain.
Yeah. I mean, in the first couple of years, we were like, there was a lot more. They started writing out the night rain business in the third season because the crew was looking, you know, they had the 1,000-yard stare. And so the writers were like, okay, we can do some stuff on the stage this year. But I remember in the first couple of years just being out there and have these giant lights that are literally like a mile away lighting something you're doing and seeing the rain through the trees and the stage lights. It was kind of a heady time those first couple of years, to be sure.
If you were to pick one scene or one episode of Grimm that really, you know, is your most memorable for whatever reason, what would that be?
There are so many. I mean, that's really hard because there are so many, but...
For you as an actor.
Yeah, gosh, you know, I have to go back to the pilot, really. I have to go back to the scene where I meet the Grimm. And it was, I don't know, it was early on in the shooting of the pilot. It might have even been the first day, which is awful when they do that. And they put these really important scenes on, like, the first day. It's like, can't we just get something mundane out of the way, get our feet wet?
Can I just walk across?
Can I? Yeah, exactly. Can I just, like, make a cup of coffee or something and not have to, like, have the core heart scene of the... I hadn't worked in months, and I felt really rusty. And I just thought that I had blown it. I really did. I was like, well, that was fun. You know, that was a nice... little 15 minutes of work. But we spent the whole day on that scene, and it wound up coming off really, really well. And I remember feeling terrified and electrified and meeting this new person who was David and also meeting the Grimm in the story and these two things intertwining. And, you know, that was a big moment, only in retrospect, of course, because that's what we do. We live through something and then we make an image of it once we're past it and it's gone. But we have to hang on to it because it's the way the human brain works. But in retrospect, it was very, very exciting. And there's probably 12 other scenes I could say that about. But right now, in this moment, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Because there was a certain kind of magic in that.
Yeah, the magic wasn't visible to me in the moment. In the moment, I was cloaked in flop sweat and fear. But in retrospect, we were on to something.
Yep, and they were. For 5 years, Silas Weir Mitchell, who's now starring in Constellations at Portland Center Stage at the Armory, will be on stage live running May 19th through June 11th at 7:30 p.m. They're in previews this week. All shows are on the main stage at the Armory, located at 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. And tickets are available at pcs.org or by calling us now at KABU at 1-877-500-5266, and we have 3 pairs of tickets available for your membership, so call now.
The dream, the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable fight, to gain the victory, to roam the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong.
There's so much hope in that song, The Impossible Dream. We're listening to Placido Domingo singing in the beloved musical Man of La Mancha. And that was the first musical I got to perform in college, and it's beautiful telling of Don Quixote by a fictionalized Cervantes, the writer, when as he's thrown into a prison during the Spanish Inquisition. The Impossible Dream is the most famous of his songs in Man of La Mancha, which is based on Don Quixote. Portland Opera performances of this musical are at the Keller Auditorium June 9th, 11th, 15th, and 17th, and we have tickets to offer here at KABU at 1-877-500-5266, which spells KBOO. We're going to travel now to Ashland, to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. A few seasons ago, I featured Universes, a New York-based theater group in residence at OSF, about their show Party People, which told the story of the Black Panthers. They just opened their new original production called Unison, a mixture of August Wilson's poetry, music, and movement. Here's a teaser of their interview that I did down there in Ashland with Universes William Sapp and Mildred Ruiz Sapp.
In 1995, I saw August Reed poetry at an event in Pittsburgh. I was a young writer sitting there, and it was an event, a retrospective of his work. And he got up to give a speech, and he pulled out his speech, and then he put his speech away and reached into the other pocket and pulled out a stack of folded up paper and proceeded to read poetry for his speech. And everyone was kind of shocked and quiet, but I was sitting there going, what is that? So I've been trying to sort of track what happened to it after all these years. And we tracked it down, and here we are with Unison.
Yeah, we were working on Party People, and one of our OSF Acting Company actor in Party People, Jeeval Mont Thomas, he had a really great relationship with August and August's widow, Constanza Romero. And when we were doing Party People, Steve asked him, hey, you know, do you know anything about this poetry? And he said, absolutely, it does exist, and, you know, you'd have to talk to Constanza about it. So then we reached out to her. She came and saw Party People with her daughter, Azula, and they, you know, they were really taken by the project. And we started having a conversation with her about bringing August's poetry and words to a new generation.
The Oregon Shakespeare Festival is going to present the world premiere, or is presenting the world premiere of Unison, and it's based on August Wilson's poetry created by the OSF Ensemble Residence Universes. It's going to be in the Angus Beaumar Theater and Beaumar Theater through October 28th, and you can find out more at osfashland.org. And right now we're offering several pairs of tickets to Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland. Becky and Joe, let's talk about those tickets. 1-877-500-5266.
We do. We have tickets for you for a minimum pledge of $120. That adds up to $10 a month, easily attained by calling 877-500-5266. Our goal for this hour is $400, and we're looking for at least four of you to call and get tickets. We have tickets everywhere.
Tickets, tickets, tickets. Too many tickets. We got to give them away. This is your chance. We're giving them away for only $100. Don't miss it.
$120 for those.
Well, it's a mere bagatelle. Don't miss the opportunity.
Well, if you've never been to Ashland, I totally recommend it. It's such a beautiful little town, and you just feel so relaxed when you get there. It's so pretty and just really pastoral, you know, and kind of just townsy, right? Yeah. And so you get to see all this like world-class theater right there in three different theaters that they have there. And they're going to have the Elizabethan open during the summer. And what an experience that is to see outdoor Shakespeare like that. And sometimes musicals too. So I recommend people, you know, checking it out. You get a tax donation, plus you support KABU. I mean, you know, and you get to see beautiful and take a road trip to Ashland. It's all wonderful. 1-877-500-5266. And you show your support for the arts, because they are under attack right now. Have we talked about that at all?
Well, we need to, because NEA, NEH, all of these acronyms that have to do with the federal support that we have for arts and culture are indeed under attack. And so for us to have these incredible cultural institutions here in the state, like the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, like KABU, it's something that we should cherish, that we should do our best to ensure that they continue on. And how you can do that right now is call 877-500-5266. Get in these tickets to Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I can't even begin to think of a cooler thing to do. We also have a cool thing to do where we get to thank the people that donated to us.
Yeah, I'd love to read your name.
Oh, let me do this.
Air.
Let me
do this. Okay, go for it.
Beverly from North Portland. Shara from Northeast Portland.
Thank you, Shara.
I know her and her partner. Deborah from Southeast Portland. Michael from Beaverton in support of the Abe and Joe Show. Oops.
Did the angel just get their wings or something?
Yeah, at least a few of them. I'm giving them all out, you know. I'm feeling very enthusiastic.
Jerome from North Portland. Susan from Placerville, California, mining town of fame.
Wow.
Susan.
Who else?
No, Jerome from North Portland. Susan from Placerville. Francine from Aix-en-Provence.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Really? Somebody from France?
Oui, c'est vrai. Miroslav from Northeast Portland.
Well, you know, I did get a Facebook question today about, you know, can I call into the membership drive if I live in California?
Absolutely.
And I said, yes, of course you can, you know, because a lot of people who, you know, are close to the border. I mean, Ashland is close to the border.
Hey,
so,
if you can call from
Aix,
you can call from anywhere.
But you can also go to Ashland pretty quickly from a lot of, you know, Northern California especially. So
call from Beijing.
You know?
What the hell?
Well, if you are looking to do something incredibly fun and cool, you have a twofer right here. You can get tickets to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival at $120 by calling 877-500-5266 and becoming a member of KBOO right this moment.
What's the number?
877-500-5266. We've got several pairs of these still, and we're only looking for a few of you to give us a call.
Well, you know, they usually only give one pair a year to KBOO, and they so generously donated four pairs for this membership drive. So there's four chances for people to go to Oregon Shakespeare Festival and experience the beauty, the grandeur, and the spirit of it. And it's just such a wonderful, you know, I don't know, theater vacation. If you're into that, which I am, it is so much fun.
Morris dancers, all sorts of things.
877-500-5266 right now and become a member of KBOO today.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts with a special one-hour membership drive edition of Stage and Studio. And I'm going to play the second part of the interview with Universes, William Sapp, Mildred Ruiz Sapp, and William Ruiz, who told me about what it's like to have August Wilson's widow, Costanza, give them a box of poetry. They're performing his play right now called Unison at Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible to have the opportunity to open a box and find the papers that he had been writing on. We found different typed pieces. We found menus from restaurants with his writing on the back of them. We knew what era he was writing these specific poems during because of a messed up E on his typewriter, which he later got fixed and then got messed up again. And we were able to track what was written when, just from the handwriting and the typing. Restaurants, the placemats where we would look at the price of a burger that was 39 cents. And then he's got a poem written on the back of that.
You're like a history detective.
Well, we wound up being that by accident. You know, we didn't know what we were stepping into. But it was quite incredible, I gotta say.
I mean, especially just seeing the handwritten stuff. I mean, that must have been an incredible experience. So how did you go about transforming that into a play?
We each were able to select. We each had a folder, and we would dig through the box, and we would choose pieces that made us feel something or that meant something. That's kind of the thing that when Costanza opened up the box, she says, pick something that really impacts you, and you're going to be able to take that with you. And at the end of the trip, we had a two-day trip, at the end of that trip, she allowed us to walk away with those pieces that meant the most to us. There were lots more pieces that we didn't bring with us. It was just so much material, we couldn't even read through it all in 2 days, you know? But it was definitely a marathon. And we brought those pieces with us, and then we had to start trying to we'd read them to each other, we'd read them to ourselves, just like days and days, months and months would pass, and we'd be like, what do we have? You know, we don't know, where do we start? One thing that did happen when we were in the room looking at the box was we found two poems. One of them was a poem about seven terrors. And it wasn't even really a poem. It's just like a little grocery list of terrors, I would say. But they would just say the first terror, and it would give the description. The second terror, the description. The third terror, to seven terrors. And so we knew that those were seven characters that we were going to, like, instantly, right? And we all chose it for our folder, which was really interesting. And we knew that that was going to be seven characters we were going to deal with. We didn't know yet that we were going to have a poet and an apprentice, but we knew we had seven terrors. In another second poem that we discovered called A Testimony of the Witness, Testimony of the Witness, there it was a story about someone leaving a box of things, items, to someone. We didn't know who that someone was, but it's a box of items. It says, do not open the box, but if you open the box, you will see that it is yourself. It would say all kinds of, and it would, so, and then when you open the box, seven individuals would come and help you rearrange everything into the place. So we were like, this is it. This is kind of the spine of or the story we're going to tell. We don't know how we're going to do it. We don't know who these characters are. But we know that there are seven terrors, and there's a box, and there's a person who gives a box to someone else.
That's very theatrical.
Yes. So with just those two pieces, we were kind of launched. And then as we were going through all the poems, we would read a poem, and we'd say, this sounds like it belongs to that terror. You know, and we would drop it kind of in the basket of that terror. And we would start building a collection of poems we felt spoke to that character or could be spoken from that character's perspective. And that's how we started building each of the terrors and building the poet and building the apprentice. And because we're poet playwrights, as was August Wilson, a poet playwright, as was William Shakespeare, a poet playwright. We were like, you know what, let's really just try to investigate what the different language of different generations are. What's our language? Who were our mentors, right? So if we have a poet and apprentice, who were our mentors? And how do we kind of speak from wherever we are as poets and say, if somebody left us something, or if we left someone something to someone? I mean, universes, we've been in existence for 21 years already, going on 22. And, you know, we're going to have something to leave behind at the end of this journey, you know? And who is it that will receive that? Who will open it? We're leaving things, you know, with every play. So it was that conversation even with ourselves. When we pass away, what are we leaving behind? What's our legacy? And that's what the play became. It became about an individual's search for their legacy. You know, what do they leave behind? What have they dealt with in their life? What did they not deal with in their life? And how do they move forward? It was a simple story that any man who is alive, any woman who is alive.
So August Wilson is not a character in this.
No.
But it is his words.
August's poems are sprinkled throughout the play. And they're what I call the chakras of the play. You know, there's a body that universe is constructed. And then there's an energy that lives within the play. And those are August's words that are kind of helping inspire every moment, every trigger moment. And then universes, we would create songs, and we would create our own poetry, and we would create dialogue. So it's a collaboration. He is the fourth playwright.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a huge collaboration. Yes. And I was going to ask you about music and movement, because that's a very big aspect to the work that you do. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about some of that?
The movement, the music, well, it starts with the music. I guess the music is a mixture of what we all do. So it's a mix of jazz, hip-hop, blues, folk music. It's all kind of mixed in together with the composition by Universe's Broken Chord and Toshi Regan, who's also a composer. And so out of that collection of music, the movement was inspired from that, and the choreographer is Byron Easley, who choreographed The Wiz here, Lauren E.J. Hamilton, as his assistant. So between that collaborative group and us and the actors, the style, the aesthetic of the piece took form and shaped.
So is that what we can expect in unison?
Some people who have seen Universe's works before will see that we've grown as a company. And working with Oregon Shakespeare Festival, we've learned how to use everyone's talents better for their own abilities. So everyone has an equal moment to shine on the stage, which is a very good thing for the audience to be able to embrace every moment of the play with its own energy. But yes, we are keeping a lot of the well-known Universe's energy in this play.
This poetry has never been heard before. And he says it even in the PBS special, like you hear him talk about it. I'm a poet, I was a poet first, you know. We know his story, how, you know, he had to be self-educated. He had to, you know, these were the way that he could communicate best when he started off and then before he went to theater. So I think that the world would want to know who August Wilson was. And even though this is not a biographical piece, every poet writes from their most personal place and from their most creative ideas, from their most their deepest curiosity. So I think that if we wanted to really that's something that we discovered when we were exploring his poetry, is that, you know, this is the guy who wrote all those plays, but he is so much more than that. You know, and he had so many dreams and so many ideas and so, you know, the way his style of writing was shocking sometimes to us. And it's nothing like the plays. So I would assume that people are going to want to know, who was that? Who was that young man before he became the August Wilson that we all think we know? And who could that possibly have been? We'll never fully know, right? Because he's not here to set us straight, but we can get ideas. And as poets, we know how when we write our stuff, when we write our material, we know that what we're putting into it. So we can only imagine what he was putting into it when he was writing his pages.
And that was Mildred Ruiz Sapp, William Ruiz, and William Sapp of Universes talking to me in Ashland about their show Unison. The Oregon Shakespeare Festival presents the world premiere of Unison based on August Wilson's poetry created by Universes in their artists in residence there. And the show is in the Angus Bomer Theater through October 28th. You can find out more at osfashland.org. And we do have tickets to offer by calling your station right now, your community radio station with your membership at 1-877-500-5266.
I have dreamed thee too long, never seen thee or touched thee, but known thee with all of my heart. Half a prayer, half a song, thou hast always been with me, though we have been always apart. Dulcinea, Dulcinea.
And we're listening to a song called Dulcinea from the musical Man of La Mancha, sung by Richard Kiley in the Broadway production. Oh, gosh, it's such a beautiful, beautiful musical. Man of La Mancha runs at Portland Opera for 4 performances only at the Keller Auditorium in June. We have tickets for your membership at KBOO at 1-877-500-5266. I don't know if she can sing, but, you know, if she could, one actress I'd love to see play Dulcinea is actress Lauren Modica. She's a Portland native actress who got the call last year to work at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. You know, that's the dream of every actor, including me, who grows up in Oregon, to be able to work at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. Lauren Modica is currently performing at OSF in Henry IV, Part 1.
I think that it's so beautiful to view that story through a more intimate and personal lens. I think that you catch, especially with our cast, with our Hal and Hotspur and Falstaff and King, that you see the eyes, the eye contact and the moments and the language that is communicated through simply physical contact and facial expressions. You catch all of it. None of it is lost.
What roles do you play?
I play, in Part 1, I play Glendower, who's a Welsh warlord. And I also play Peto, who is one of Hal and Falstaff's, crew.
So is it a contemporary version?
It is. We are set in the modern day. And I think it works beautifully. And I think that watching especially high school students and student groups who come and watch the show, the way their faces light up, because it's not a mystery. I think that our directors and designers and fellow performers have unlocked what can often be like, oh, Shakespeare, like, oh, a history play, 3 hours of, you know, verse, oh, man. And instead, you see people's faces again in that intimate venue, and they hear and feel everything. You know, there's a real human thread that runs through every performance that I've seen.
You know, I was one of those high school students, and so was Lauren Modica, who traveled to Ashland to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and was so inspired by the performances and the amazing productions that you can see almost year round, 10 months out of the year until October 28th anyway. You can see Henry IV Part 1 with actress Lauren Modica, who's I'm going to feature a little bit more later at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to Oregon Shakespeare Festival. You know, they have more than 10 plays running at the same time quite often to offer for your membership. So let's check in with membership Central and call now, 1-877-500-5266.
Indeed, please call us. I'm Becky. I'm here with Joe.
Call.
We're on this incredible show. And if you support local arts programming, call right now, 877-500-5266. We're looking to supply you with some beautiful tickets to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland for $120.
Well, the tickets aren't that beautiful, but the shows are.
I bet the tickets are pretty beautiful.
Well,
and also, how
nice.
Are you going to know if you don't call right now to get them? 877-500-5266 for $120 minimum pledge. That's $10 a month. You can get it very easily on the phone. We have smiling, happy people back here to tell you about how to become a KBOO member. And I'm here to tell you that cultural programming on KBOO is the best here in Portland. If only there was a Best of Portland thing for people to vote
well,
for, because
the best,
we do it more.
Virtually the only.
Yes. So you support this beautiful, wonderful programming. If you call right now, it'll brighten everyone's day, especially Dime, who puts so much time and amazing effort into getting live local people here on the radio to talk about their productions. 877-500-5266.
You know, Becky, Dime here, you know, you talk about the 50th anniversary of KBOO coming up. Well, you know, this year's going to be my 20th anniversary later on this year.
Yes.
Yeah, because of, you know, volunteering, doing the show, you know. So why do I do it? Because I believe that arts programming is important. I believe that arts and culture can help save, you know, the spirit and save your life and give you inspiration to go another day, you know, to keep sallying forth, because we need hope right now. We need so much hope. And often going to see a performing arts event in Portland, you know, with live people, with community, you know, there's such a community feeling mm-hmm. to every single event that you go to. You know, we're offering Portland Center Stage tickets. We're also offering, you know, tickets to Portland Opera to see this exquisite musical production at of Man of La Mancha that will, I guarantee you, you'll feel inspired and you'll be singing The Impossible Dream.
Yes.
You know, so give us the dollar amounts for those, for the value and, you know, how much that you can pick those tickets up for.
For Man of La Mancha, those are for a minimum donation of $300. So call 877-5 100-5266. No, I got
it.
It's numbers. We have so many numbers to tell you. If you want those tickets, they're $300 donation to KBOO. If you would like to get Oregon's Shakespeare Festival tickets, those are $120. So please call 877-500-5266 for the singular opportunity to not only invest in a cultural institution, but to get tickets to these amazing events.
877-500-5266.
And I'm Dime Roberts with we're closing in on the 1 hour stage and studio. There's so many wonderful places to see this season at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I enjoyed Mojada, Hannah and the Gazebo, and Unison. But OSF is also known for inventive Shakespeare. Actress Lauren Modica, who is a Portland native, by the way, tells us about the production she's currently in Henry IV, Part One.
We have such an incredibly diverse cast. We have a fantastic actress playing Hotspur, and, you know, myself and several other performers are all playing roles that are traditionally male. It's not made a big deal of, and yet it's very unmistakably, undeniably, we bring ourselves to it, and we bring different interpretations of what it means to be a woman playing that role.
Well, it makes it more exciting to me because it's a lot more fresh.
Well, I think especially when you compare it to life, you see women in these roles in the real world. And so to see that mirrored back from on stage using this historical text, it makes total sense. It seems the most obvious and yet the most fresh and unexpected thing. And that's such a beautiful blend.
Are you in other roles later on in the season too?
Yes. In part two, I play Pito again, and I play Silence, and then I play Prince Mowbray. And so I'm very excited to tackle one role that I'm pretty familiar with and that I love playing, and then two new ones.
You're pretty good at multiple roles too.
I love it. I'm so flattered that you say that. I think if it's true, it's simply because of necessity. I've been lucky enough to be plunked into tracks or shows that require doubling or sometimes more. To me, it's just like it's bonus after bonus after bonus, because who doesn't? You get to stretch. You get to try. You get to be different things and different people and different facets of yourself. And so I love it. Anytime that I get to play more than one character, I'm thrilled. At the same time, I think the only trade-off is that sometimes you don't get to go on the full through-line arc with the audience, and that's something that I think all actors crave, to go on that total beginning, middle, end, or maybe even beginning, middle, unknown ride with the audience.
Have you always wanted to be an actor?
I think secretly for a long time. It's definitely something that, especially in my early 20s and college years, to put it bluntly, if especially at that time before diversity and inclusion sort of bloomed furiously within the theatrical community, any sort of artistic community, in life in general, there was sort of the standard, if you didn't fit a certain mold, you were told, sometimes quite bluntly, even by people who knew you and cared for you and believed in you, that there really wouldn't be a place for you outside of, say, scholastic theater or, you know, hobby theater. And so I definitely had some very blunt advice given to me, and I think that it was meant in good faith, but it was so discouraging that I stepped away from theater for a long time and focused on sociology and journalism and couldn't stay away from auditing those theater classes and couldn't stay away from trying out for everything. And I went through a period of time in college where I auditioned for every college play and for 2 years and didn't get a single part. You know, that's a big message to send. And then I took a break, and then I came back to that same college, and there were new professors, and I ended up getting a series of roles that changed, one of them being Falstaff and Henry IV at Portland Community College, directed by Gretchen Eisnogel, and it changed everything. It's important to allow people to see what they can do and to find the soft spots and to shore up the weak spots and to gain courage. And so after a series of really wonderful experiences there, I stood back and I said, you know, if you're going to go for this, then you need to do it now. And that was about 5 years ago. And I just sort of started doing whatever would have me, and in Portland, and have been lucky enough to work my way up to working at so many lovely spaces and theaters and groups, and now I'm here.
Well, look, I'm sure it's a lot of hard work because, I mean, every woman of color, every person of color, any person with any kind of disabilities or does not fit the mold, for me, it's like a weight thing. If you don't fit that mold, you are totally discouraged as a way to help you. It's like, oh, well, I don't want you to get hurt, but right. I'm going to hurt you to tell you that you don't have a shot right. in hell.
Right. And it's one of those things where you're like, I don't know which is the bigger sting. And I say this as someone who hears no every day. I say this as someone who, I mean, even in my own eyes, it's been something that I've thought of a lot about recently, because I think that as young people, we're all given a message by the world. And that message is how the world sees you and what you should expect and how you will be treated and how you operate within that gaze. And unfortunately, as you were saying, if you don't fit the mold, life in general, let alone performing, let alone any sort of creative pursuit, is dictated to you. It said you operate within the confines of this gaze, within these are your boundaries. The horrible part is that you're taking away so much agency from someone. You're taking away their right to the hard knocks, to the no's. Everyone experiences on this path, and you're giving them so much baggage. I don't say this in any sort of like stoic way, but there was a period of time where I was like, well, there's no way that I'll ever be able to act because this person who has more experience than me is telling me no, not just no, you didn't get the part, or no, we don't have a space for you in this whatever, but no one ever will. And to take that prominent of a space up in someone's life, especially at a formative age, is so damaging. And even if it's done out of love or out of concern, I really don't think anyone has the right to say that. Because for myself, it definitely built up that a little bit of that, well, I'll show you. But I also know that that came after years of feeling dejected and depressed, and like I had somehow brought this curse, sort of this yoke of shame around me and around what I really felt drawn to do and what enriched my life and what I hope I brought joy to others with. If you're any sort of other, you're already aware of it. You're already aware of it. There's nothing that anyone can say that is somehow going to make you suddenly go, what are you talking? Like that professor, when he said that to me, there was no part of me that said, what are you talking about? You know, I'm a 4'8", half black dwarf woman, and you're saying I'm going to have an uphill climb in American theater? My God, you know, so I'm of the mind that we're all going to be told no endless times. We're all going to be rejected. We're all going to face crushing disappointments. We're all going to have all of that anyway. Why prematurely load that on anyone's shoulders?
So what do you say to people going through that right now, young people especially, who don't fit the mold? What do you tell them?
I would say, oh goodness, that you know deep down that if you want to do this, you will find a way to do it, and you will find a way to continue doing it. For me, that was doing, after I came back to college, doing community college productions for years and learning on my feet that way. That was looking, you know, at every resource I could find in Portland to try and find any open audition. That was doing the research to find out when the larger houses or theaters had their general auditions. That was figuring out someone to take my very first headshot, you know, and not beating myself up because I was still learning as I was doing. So if someone's telling, you know, a young performer, you can't do this because fill in the blank, they don't know. They don't know. They're not fortune tellers. I believe that, as with anyone who told me that, they're coming from a place of concern, perhaps influenced by their own path. But just because someone says something to you doesn't mean you have to accept it. It's not saying that because this person told you, oh, you'll never be hired because you are this or you look like this. They don't know what's going to happen 10 years from now, 10 months from now, 10 days from now, 10 minutes from now. And keep going. And it's okay to take breaks. It's okay to practice self-care. It's okay to remove yourself from environments where you feel like all you're hearing is how you're wrong before you've even tried. And, you know, you're not wrong. And so try.
And so that was actress Lauren Modica at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And she's going to be in Henry IV Part 1 and Part 2 at Oregon Shakespeare Festival until October 28th. And here's the description. OSF's journey through Shakespeare's history tetralogy continues after the acclaimed sold-out run of Richard II. And so they continue the political intrigues, machinations, and battles of early 15th century England with a healthy dose of Falstaff and comedy thrown in. So that is Henry IV Part 1 and 2, and that's at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And we, you know, if you missed any of this interview or this special one-hour show, you can visit kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I'm Dime Roberts, Stage and Studio. And we have a pair of tickets to offer to Oregon Shakespeare Festival as well as to Portland Center Stage. But I have to say, my friend Sandra DeHellen, who has been a longtime KBU supporter, moved to San Diego, and she called in from San Diego to pick up a pair of tickets to the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. And I just want to say thank you, Sandra. Thank you so much for your support through the years. And I'd like to see more names and hear more phones calling at this point, because we are at the end of this one-hour special edition of Stage and Studio, or towards the end here. Please show your support to KBU and socially relevant arts coverage on Stage and Studio by calling now to become a member or renew your membership and pick up some tickets while you're at it. And we're going to talk more about it here at KBU, 1-877-500-5266.